Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 51, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Amid the thronging worshippers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 51.
If he's the good. scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah and thereof chapter 53. But first, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may try in this afternoon hour once again to draw nigh unto thee in thy house of prayer. And when thou sparest us and givest a measure of health and of strength once more, that we may gather round about thy word of truth, a word that is so closed unto us, except that thou wilt open it. Oh, that thou would take away that veil which is upon thy word, and that veil that is also upon our own hearts. For we have no eyes to see, no ears to hear, and no hearts to understand it. Oh, thou knowest our flesh and everything that it desires. For thou dost say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But thou knowest the love of the world that lives, that dwells, that burns within the heart of each and every one of us, O Lord. Then there is not a man in this thy house of prayer that can deny the carnality to vanity that lives within us. Oh, then we lay it also before thee in this afternoon hour. Oh, we confess it unto thee, O Lord. Then there is no changing it from our side. No, even thy own servant, he did complain. And that with the mind I serve the law of God, and but with the flesh the law of sin. O thou knowest then each and every one of us, and much more do serve that law of sin. O when it is not thy work within us, and to begin and to keep us every day again, and then we shall live it out, what lives in our heart every moment. We shall so live it out in our life, and so we shall die in the way that we have been born. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, could it please thee to look upon and to remember us in mercy? To whom else, O Lord, shall we go but unto thee, who hast the words of eternal life, and we have heard it read in these moments out of thy holy word, that when thy dear Son should make his soul an offering for sin, and that he shall see his seed, and that he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. O Lord, shall he not then see his seed? Or is it a seed that only that has come in the years that are gone by? Or is there not a seed also in the days in which we live? Dost thou not still extend the time even unto us and unto our children? Dost thou not bring it also in our days, thy truth in the midst of us, even as we have heard it in this morning hour? O Lord, thou still givest unto us thy holy word. O thou still bringest us into that outward covenant, wherein thou promisest us that thou wilt continue to the children what thou hast given unto the fathers. Lord, then thy dear Son, he must see his seed. Oh, he has merited it, O Lord. And then he has satisfied thee, and all that was necessary that his seed may be brought in. And so we can read that it is promised unto him that he may extend the borders of his tents, and that he may lengthen the cords, that he may strengthen, that he may stretch forth the curtains of his tent, and that it shall go out not only to the Jewish nation, but that it also shall go out unto the Gentiles. Lord, are we not among them whom thou hast also included when thou hast shut it up unto thy people? Oh, could it please thee to look upon us in mercy, and that thou may draw us and our children in this precious day of grace, and that we also may be included, and that we may not stand without on that great day of days. after having all the blessings given unto us in an outward way, then to miss the substance, oh, that blessed substance, Lord, could it please Thee to extend it unto us and unto our dear children, that our hearts may burn with a need, and that there may be a desire that is burning daily within us, oh, that the inner chambers may be filled, oh, that Thou Thyself would turn Thee yet again, and remember Thy Zion also. Oh, we all like sheep have gone astray, and we have heard it read in these moments. But Thou hast laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Oh, it is Thy entire church, an iniquity that is laid upon Thy only begotten Son. O Lord, could it please Thee then to draw more into Thy church and to give Thy church liberty and freedom in that freeness of Thy blessed grace? For if it is of works, O Lord, then it is no longer of grace. Oh, then they need to be led further into that mystery, and then it needs to be opened unto them time and time again, that Thy word then may go forth also in this afternoon hour, that it may be as it was with Thy servant, who said, Thy word was found, words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. O Lord, Thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. How long that we have come up under Thy word of truth. How dead that it is in and of ourselves. O Thou knowest whether that we have ever eaten of Thy holy word, and whether it has ever been unto us sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. O this, Lord, we beseech Thee, even in this afternoon hour, that Thou would make it so to both young and old, may be come up under this Thy word of truth so many years in our life, and never eaten therefrom, and that we do not know what it is to hunger and to thirst and to eat and to drink. But Thou sayest Thyself, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, then it is necessary that we receive a hunger and a thirst, else we shall never eat and we shall never drink. But when there is such a hunger in our thirst in our midst, oh, we beseech Thee, and Thou who art able to open the storehouses of Joseph, oh, that Thou would bring them in that hunger unto Thee. Oh, that they may seek it by Thee, and that they may find that there is famine all around, and that greater Joseph may receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, that it may be a people that are bought by Him, that may come, that may remain continually at Thy feet in great dependence for the need for the health of their soul. Lord, we beseech Thee for the working of Thy Holy Spirit in the days in which we do live with our children. Oh, that we would not be left to perish, under the blessings of Thy holy word. Look upon all Thy true church over the length and breadth of this whole world. Thou knowest where that they do suffer persecution for the sake of Thy name. Oh, that Thou may supply and uphold for that people. And wilt Thou give that Thy name, that Thy word may be extended to all the ends of the earth, and that it may return again, O Lord. Oh, that it may return again unto that people who have been cut off as a branch. But Thou sayest that Thou art able to graft them in again. Oh, and so Thou wilt do. Oh, that thou may remember them also in these days. Thou knowest all that they do suffer from every enemy that are round about them, the hatred that is in this world for that Jewish nation. O Lord, that thou thyself may look upon them. O turn them again and give them open eyes, that the veil may be taken away, and that they may be given to recognize in thy only begotten Son, and that blessed Messiah in that word of truth, which they do profess to believe. Lord, that they may receive also the rest of thy truth, and wherein it is proclaimed that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And do remember young and old, our children and our young people. In this season that now lies before them, they were laid before thee in this morning hour. Oh, we desire to lay them before thee once again. Oh, they are our children. They are our grandchildren. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for the need of their soul, because there are so many devices of Satan that are so akin to the desires of their heart. There are so many distractions that are as weights that must be set aside. Oh, it is a sin that does so easily beset us and our children, they born into this world in our image. Oh, we beseech thee for them, Lord, when they will begin again with our instructors in our own Christian school. Oh, that thou may go before, and that thou may supply in all the needs that will be felt in the coming months once again. Oh, do strengthen our teachers. Do give them that tender fear of thy name, that it may be born within their hearts, and that it may live and burn within them day after day. And when they do stand before our children in the classrooms, oh, could it be that the fear of thy name may be so evident in that place, that our children may receive saving impressions of the holiness of God. Oh, that they may receive that blessed reverence that will live in the heart of a child that is truly born again. Oh, we beseech thee then for help from the sanctuary and all the studies that belong to this life, but also to a better. Oh, that thou may bless and sanctify the labors that will take place there. And wilt thou be with all those that will study in whatever places that may be in this coming year. Oh, do help us as parents also, that we would not put the responsibility of the instruction for the souls of our children upon others, but that we may take that responsibility upon ourselves. Give us to be more faithful than we have ever been in the past, for the time is short, and Satan knows that it is so, that thou may remember our young people that will go to institutions of learning, wherever that they may be, or in places of work in this world, when Satan's influences also will be felt. Oh, that thou may show thyself to be on the right and on the left, and that their upbringing may be sanctified and blessed. Oh, that they could not do without thee, O Lord, every day and every moment, to say, Lord, keep me, Lord, teach me, and Lord, instruct me. And wilt thou remember all young and old in every need, in all cases of widowhood, or all cases of sickness or old age and infirmity. Bless the afflictions. Oh, give patience, and give that it may be also as thy servant did say, that we glory also in tribulations, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Oh, that it may be a hope that is born in thee, and that it all may be sanctified, and that it all may redound to the honor and glory of thy name, and to the salvation of our soul, that thou may supply for those who have been in that accident, Lord, could it please thee, while the impressions of thy providences may have made the heart a little soft. Oh, that thy word may find a place within the hearts of young and of older, and supply also for him, that father and that husband, that is so very near unto the grave. Lord, that thou may make it well even in the last hours, and supply for the wife and the children together. Lord, strengthen in all these circumstances, and in every circumstance borne by young and old. Wilt thou go before the meeting that we hope to have in Calgary in this week that is to come, where we will try one more time, that we may receive a man to serve in the office of a deacon. Lord, it is all in thy hands. Thou knowest everything. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may guide all things, and that thy will may be done. Lord, go before us also in this afternoon hour. Oh, help us, Lord, be on our right and on our left hand, to give us strength in the body, to give us clarity in our mind. Oh, may it be a mind. Oh, may it be a heart that is filled with the need of our fellow traveler to a great and never-ending eternity, and that we could not close our mouth, and that thy own church may receive a little instruction, a little comfort, and may it be for a little strength and encouragement upon the journey, that short journey between the cradle and the grave, to our long and to our eternal home. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. And what follows, we announce, the Lord willing, confession classes will begin next week. Anyone wishing to join the class, please contact myself by tomorrow so that the appropriate materials can be prepared. And as was announced in this morning, the consistory meeting has been postponed until next week, Thursday. And the last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? How is it, congregation, we have heard it already now so many weeks ago, and we have been reminded of it week after week, but it is not enough just to hear it. Then it needs also to be made a reality in our own life. Is there no way? How is it? Is it yet the question of your heart? How long will it be ere that it becomes the need of your soul? Is there no way by which we may escape this punishment? Because the weeks, they are flying away, and we see our children, they become a year older. And children, then you go into a next grade. And if the Lord will spare you, then that will go on, and you think that will take a long time, but that takes only a very short time. And soon you are in the grade 12 already, and you have come out of the university, and you have gained so much knowledge, but it has never become our question. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? And what shall now that be? And when we have come out of that university, maybe, or we have gone then through our life and become married, and we have raised up children, and we have set before our children an example, their whole young life for 20 years, maybe more, and that it has never been an example of a father or a mother who was burdened with a burning heart. Is there no way by which I may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Oh, shall we let our whole life go on, from the cradle to the grave, having heard week by week that word of the Lord, and have to give an answer and to testify before our Maker in that last day, and that we have let it come into our ears, and that it has entered for a moment into our mind, and we have left that house of the Lord, and we have never thought about it again? Oh, and that we have come to the end of our life, and that we have never found a way wherein we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor. Is there no way? God will have His justice satisfied. Oh, friends, there is no way around this. Oh, that is like a rock. That is like a solid wall. That is, as it were, a closed door. God will have His justice satisfied. Oh, is that justice? Is that justice now standing also in your way, that you are not able for yourself to enter into that kingdom of God, and that there is no way that that punishment can be taken away? David came to agree with it in his life. What did he say? He said, O Lord, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. Oh, could David pay? Could David make satisfaction? Not if he laid in hell for a million, a billion, a trillion years. And David could make no satisfaction for his sin. Why not? Because it is a sin against an infinite being. It is a sin against an eternal God. And a sin against an eternal God is a sin of an eternal worth. And that is a sin that cannot be satisfied by any human being. That's what our fathers have shown us. Can we ourselves make this satisfaction? By no means. Not actively we cannot. Not in a passive way we cannot. We cannot earn it, not up to the satisfaction what He requires. And we cannot pay it, not what we have done wrong. And so the hopes outside of that mediator we heard, they have been cut off. Have they ever been cut off for you? That you say, from my own side, oh, maybe there is not even a desire yet. Oh, but if the Lord has given you a desire, and if the Lord has given to you a need and made it burn in your heart, oh, has your hope been stripped away from you by the Spirit of the Lord to the discouragement of your own soul, that you say, I am so afraid that it is lost, lost, lost. What sort of a mediator then must we seek for? O congregation, we have said it is such a beautiful question. Because we said there is such a pure turning. What do we read in that question? We read nothing anymore of man. We read nothing anymore of a broken covenant. We didn't read nothing anymore of an old way. But that is a soul that is so utterly convinced that that old way is broken and that there is no way in it anymore. And he has been made teachable by the Spirit of the Lord. Teachable that he says, Lord, what is the way? Oh, that he says, is there then a way? That, O Lord, that thou knowest. Then he is ready to receive instruction. Are you ready to receive instruction, boys and girls, in the school tomorrow? If all is well, then it may begin again. And then you may go to learn so much in school, and we hope that you will do your very, very best. Because the Lord's word that speaks about young people, the diligent man, that a diligent man, he shall stand before kings. And so the Lord commands us to labor diligently 6 days in our work in this life. Will you do that while you have opportunity in school? Maybe you don't like it so much, but later on, then you will be so glad that you have done your very, very best. But will you also have a desire for the instruction that we read of here in our catechism? Or which of our boys and girls, which of them, if you would be very honest with us this afternoon, boys and girls, you say, which is the subjects that you are really looking forward to when you go back to school tomorrow? How many of you from the bottom of your heart that could really say this afternoon, not just because you know it should be the right answer, that it should be that way, yes, but that it really is that way, that you are waiting, and that your teacher may explain to you what is in that holy word of God? How many of you can say that? Can you not say that? Then you know what you must do. You must go home today and you go on your knees and you say, Lord, I have a wicked heart, because I am more interested in all the other subjects in this world. Maybe to play in the gym class. I am more interested, when I am honest, than I am to hear thy holy word. That is an awful thing. We were not created like that. That is the evidence of our fall. Oh, that you will go on your knees and say, Lord, here is my wicked heart. And wilt thou give me a new heart, that truly it may be that I desire to hear instruction out of that holy word of God. That I could say that from the bottom of my heart. And that this also, this question that we hear in our catechism, that this question, that this may be living within your heart. What sort of a mediator then must we seek for? Or if you may be instructed, children, if you may be instructed in your life between your birth and your grave concerning that blessed mediator, then you have learned that one lesson that you need to learn. All the other things are okay. But that one lesson you need to learn before that you die. Will you listen then? Also in this afternoon for a few moments. Lord's Day 6. Questions 16 and 17. Lord's Day 6. Questions. Only questions 16 and 17. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17. Why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. So far, our Lord's Day. The requirements of the mediator. First, humanity. Second, righteousness. And third, divinity. The requirements of the mediator. First, humanity. Second, righteousness. Third, divinity. Our Father's congregation, they have begun to speak about a mediator. And what is a mediator? A mediator is one who interposes between two parties. Two parties who have a disagreement. And that mediator has a purpose, that is to bring these two parties back together again. Thus, when is a mediator sought? Well, in the first place, you must have two parties that have a disagreement. In the second place, those two parties, they must not of themselves be able to settle that disagreement. And in the third place, those two parties, they must have a desire to come together again. Thus, when any one of those three things is missing, then there will be no seeking for a mediator. Because when there are not two parties with a disagreement, then there is no seeking for a mediator to come between them. And naturally, when we have disagreements, then we will first seek that we are settling that disagreement between ourselves. And when we are able to settle that disagreement between ourselves, then we are also not asking after a mediator. And in the third place, and then when there is no desire between those parties to come together again, then we are also not looking, not asking for a mediator. And indeed, there are times that it is only one-sided, that there is no desire from the other side, and that there is from one side a seeking for a mediator, and that mediator may also be useful to convince that other side that they may come together again. And so those three things are necessary, and our fathers, they have now begun to speak about a mediator. Who are those parties who are at disagreement? That is God, and that is man. Is that not awful? That is God and man. That man that God has made in His image. That man that God has, in whom God has planted desires after Himself. That man that owes every obedience, every desire, every ounce of strength, every motive of his heart unto the Lord. And there is a breach between God and the very crown of his creation. What has sin brought into this world? That is not only that there are disagreements between men, that there is all kind of fighting, quarreling, killing of one another in this world, but that there is disagreement, a breach between God and man. What is that disagreement that has congregation to do with God's holiness? His holiness. Because God is holy and man is unholy. And that extends then also to the justice of God. That has to do, as we have heard our fathers have spoken about, the satisfaction of God's justice. And man, he says, why does the Lord not just look over it? Why does the Lord not just look at our sin through his fingers? Just like we do to one another. And why can the Lord not do that? And then that disagreement and that breach that can be all done. That is the way we want it. Don't we, young people? And the holiness, well, I want to go on in my life. And I want to do what I want. And I still want to go to heaven when I die. And I think that the Lord, he should take such a person as me into that blessed communion with himself. What a disagreement. Strictly speaking, it is congregation between God and man, irresolvable. Irresolvable. Why? Well, we heard it. Our fathers have laid that out so clearly. God will have his justice satisfied. He cannot relinquish that justice. That is on the one side. There is no hope of that. And on the other side, Our fathers have laid that out also. Can we ourselves make this satisfaction? By no means. Thus, it is irresolvable between God and His creature. But what is now that third thing that is necessary for a mediator to be sought? That third thing is that there is desire that these two parties may come together once again. Because if there is no desire to come together again, then no mediator will be sought. How is it? You say, I am willing. Are we willing? Are we so willing? Then let us look back at the history of our life. Let us just go 1 week back. How was it this week? So willing. Willing to seek after the Lord. Is that so? How much time then did we spend in the word of the Lord? Answer it. Not before me, before the Lord. And then say, Lord, I am willing. How much time have we spent in our inner chamber begging the Lord, beseeching the Lord? Or are we ready to say this afternoon before the Lord, O Lord, I desire that breach to be done away. I am willing. I seek, oh, do you know what the Lord, He says? He says, love not the world. Love not the world. Oh, look, congregation, do not look in my heart. Do not look in my heart. Oh, let us look in our hearts, because the world, oh, that world that is living in our hearts. Love not the world. And then we say that we want to be converted. No, by nature we are not willing. By nature we do not seek for a mediator, because we do not seek for God. Because we have no desire and no longing and no yearning and no burning that breach that may be taken away. The Lord knows it. The Lord looked down from heaven also this week, and He has seen all that we have done. And He has looked in the innermost recesses of our hearts, and what our heart has burned after, and what our heart has gone after every moment in this week. And what has He seen? All that He has seen, that there is none that doeth good, and that there is none that seeketh after God. The breach. Is there a desire somewhere that breach may be taken away? There is. Do you know where that desire is? That is in heaven. That is in heaven. That desire that is living in the heart of God, that breach may be taken away. And if that desire did not live and burn in the heart of God, it would be impossible for that church, for any one of us, to be saved. It is the Lord, from that never begun eternity already, in a council of peace, who has sought for a mediator, because he had no desire forever and forever to be separated from his creature. From the crown of his creation, which he would make. And therefore he has called out already, who will go for us? Does there not need to be another desire? Does there not need to be a desire from the other side? Oh yes, and there will be. But where will that desire come from? That desire that is also going to come from the Lord himself. Because what does Paul say? He says that the Lord, he will have a willing people in the day of his power. Thus that desire, oh, is there a desire? Is there a desire, the smallest desire, that is living in your heart? Children, young people, is there such a desire that maybe you have never spoken of to mother or do not dare to say to father, but by times in your own inner chamber, that there is a burning desire? Or if it is so, that is a desire that is only planted, not from us, no. Because in us dwelleth no good thing, but that desire that is born in the heart of a man by the Spirit of the Lord. And our fathers, they have led us to this place. They have led us even further than that desire after the Lord. But even that looking for that mediator. So we have come to that place in our catechism. Is that not a blessed thing? When actually congregation, it is one. When the Lord gives a man to agree with himself in the need and in the desire for a mediator, to mediate between these two disagreeing parties. That is when a man's desire is as the desire of God. Why must he be very man? The first requirement, humanity. Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. What does it have to do with? That has to do with the value of the satisfaction. We read in God's word about weights and measures. And he says you shall have a just weight. One weight and one measure. Not two measures, not two weights, that you may deceive someone else. Use the heavier one, or you use the lighter one, so you may take advantage. They do not know. No, the Lord says you have one weight, one measure. Why? Because the Lord, he will do all things equal. And the people of the Lord, they complained about him. They said the way of the Lord is unequal. He says, are not your ways unequal? Are not my ways equal? And when it came to justice and judgment in the world, how many times did the Lord not say to his people that you must do justice and judgment? That is, that the punishment that has to fit the crime, teachers, parents, that has to be for us continually. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That is, not to put upon them a punishment that is heavier than they can bear. and not to make a mockery of it, that they are just laughing. No, then we need wisdom. Then we need discretion. But the Lord, He will do all things equal. Now what does Christ say? He says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Congregation, what are we giving in exchange for our soul? Shall we give the whole world in exchange for our soul? What shall we be profited if we shall gain that whole world and we shall lose our own soul? Say, our soul that is not worth all the world. All the gold in the world, the honor in the world, the power in the world, everything in the world is not worth one soul. Those things, they cannot weigh. They will not come equal in the balance. And we can fool a man, an ignorant man, but we cannot fool the Lord. No, because the Lord says the blood of bulls and of goats, they cannot take away sin. That has to do with the value of our soul. He says, I have created that soul in my image. And because that soul was created in my image, that soul has a great value. It is created for a never-ending eternity. And there is no bull, and there is no goat, there is no animal, there is nothing in this whole world that can equal the value of the soul of a human being. You say, how is it possible then that the blood of one man can pay for the sins of an innumerable multitude? Because that shall be a multitude that no man can number. How can the blood of one man? That is easy. That is because of the value of the blood of that one man. That is because that one man is not just man, but that one man is also God. You say, why could he not just be God? Why could he not? Why did he have to be a human being? Well, because God cannot suffer. Because God, he cannot die. Because in that sense, he cannot pay that price for sin. What is the price for sin? Do we believe it? The wages of sin is death. And thus he had to be a man to satisfy that justice. And not only in that passive way, but also in that active way. Because the active obedience also had to be in our own nature. Or otherwise he could not merit for our nature. To earn a salvation for mankind. Thus, that mediator, he had to be a human being, a true human being. But also, we read, perfectly righteous. That is the second part of this question. And what is the answer? One who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Is that not evident? Righteous. What is that? Righteous. Righteous, that is to be right with the law. Where do we put those who are not right with the law? We put them in the prison. We put them in the jail. When we are not right with the law, then we ought to be under punishment. And how can such a man who is under punishment be a mediator for someone else? How can he be a surety for someone else? How can he make satisfaction for someone else? That is impossible. How can a criminal make satisfaction for his brother criminal? And not only so, but that mediator, he must be righteous. Why? Well, because a man that is a sinner, he obviously needs a mediator himself. Because such a man is not able to approach unto God if he is not perfectly righteous. Would you want a lawyer in this world who was not able to approach unto the judge, who could not speak unto the judge, who would pine away, who would be afraid to go before the judge into the court. Is that now the lawyer that you would choose in this world? Sin, congregation, that defiles in our very conscience. It is sin, a single sin, that makes a man fear to stand before the majesty of God. Children, when you will do evil, when you will do wrong, and you will come home to mother, come home to father, then you are afraid. Why? That is your conscience. It is your conscience. And your conscience, when you have sinned, that does not allow you to stand before the judge. Thus, that mediator, he had to be perfectly righteous. What does Solomon say? He says, righteousness delivereth from death. Thus, when there is righteousness, then a man dares to stand before the judge, then he is not afraid, because there is for him nothing burning in his conscience, because he knows that there is, in a righteous judgment, no death for him. Thus that mediator, he had not only to be human, but he had to be perfectly righteous, that he would be able to go in even as one that went in before the very judge himself. Let us sing Psalter 25. Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within thy holy place? 1-4, Psalter 25. Why must he in one person be also very God? That is congregation, the third requirement, that is divinity. Why? That he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. That he might sustain the burden of God's wrath. Congregation, what shall that be? God's wrath. The burden of God's wrath. That is a burden that is also begun, already begun for us. It is the first part of that burden that is lying upon us. What is that? That is the burden of death. A spiritual death, is that a burden to you? That is separation, a spiritual separation from God. That is the first part of the experience of that wrath of God. You say, I do not feel it. Oh, common grace. Common grace that permits us to receive every blessing here below. That is for one purpose, because the church that will be brought in by the Lord. And so we are given a measure of life, of health and of strength, and we can enjoy even the things in this world. What shall that be? When common grace is all taken away. And that we shall experience that full, that undivided wrath of God in that threefold death. Oh, that divine revelation that is speaking, congregation, about that wrath in the strongest terms. In the strongest terms. It speaks about it as a fire. It speaks about fire and brimstone. Or it speaks about darkness. That it speaks about an outer darkness. It speaks about a pit. It says that it is a bottomless pit. It speaks about it being a place where hope shall never come. Congregation, how shall we endure? How shall we endure the wrath of God? 3 days there was darkness in Egypt, a darkness that could be felt. No one moved from his place. What a fear to live in that Egyptian people. And then they were given to see the light of a new day. Oh, how shall we endure that pit that has no bottom, where we are ever, ever falling? Oh, how shall we endure that place where there is no hope? Because if we know a little what hopelessness is in this world, then a man, he wants to take away his life. He wants to end his life. How shall we endure the wrath of God? How shall we endure fire? Oh, children, if you will go home and ask mother for a candle, that is just a little flame. You put one finger in the tip of that flame and try to hold it there. Try to hold it there. It is impossible, because we cannot endure that wrath of God. Vivid descriptions we have in that holy word of God to show to us that it is a wrath that cannot be sustained by our human nature. You say it is being sustained because there are multitudes that are in this day in that eternal pit, and that is true in a sense. But when our fathers, they are speaking about sustaining, then they don't mean just to endure it, but they mean enduring it so as to pay that price so that there may come an end to it. And that is something that the damned, they shall never experience. They shall wish congregation to be annihilated, to be done away with, that they would have no existence at all. But that will be impossible. And so we read now of that mediator, who that mediator has to be. That he has to be not only a man, but he has to be God himself. Why? That he may obtain for, and it says, restore to us righteousness and life. That is the end. That is the purpose of that mediator. That he may reconcile a people unto his Father. And then it is necessary not only that he endure that wrath, but that he come out of that wrath. You say, how is it possible that he can come out of that wrath? He has experienced that wrath in soul and in body, in his suffering, in his death. And there came an end to it. How is that possible? Well, that is again easy. That is because of his divinity. It is the worth of his divinity that is the only reason that he had not to pay it in an infinite time, but he has endured it in the infinity of his divinity, which value was sufficient for the satisfaction of his Father. Congregation, is it not a wonder that the Lord, he has provided a mediator? Paul, he says, oh, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But what now do we know? What do we know of this mediator? How often is that mediator not hidden from the eyes of his people? Is that a strange thing? Our fathers, they do not come yet here to the mentioning of the name of the mediator. We have not yet heard his name, only some things about that mediator. Is that biblical? How long did Joseph refrain himself from revealing his person unto his brothers while he was instructing them concerning himself? And how long was not the full revelation of the person of Christ withheld from the church of God in this world for a full 4,000 years before that he has come into this world? And all that time, that church was upheld by the Lord, by that mediator, through the promise of the coming of that mediator. It was a church that was saved by hope. And what were those blessed comforts that the Lord gave to that church in that Old Testament time, before that the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, the person of the mediator, was ever revealed? Well, then we can read of promises of his humanity, promises of concerning his righteousness, and promises concerning his divinity. Why? Because that is what the church needed. That is what the church felt. That is what they lived in because of that new birth. Humanity. Or what would it profit them had they not humanity in that mediator? We see Moses. He brings the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, and that mount that is on fire. And that people, they say, no. They fled. Let not the Lord speak to us, lest we die. Speak thou to us, and we will hear. Oh, what were they asking for? They were asking for a man. They were asking for one that was in their own flesh. Why? Because him they could speak to. Him they would not need to be afraid of. And before that the Lord ever revealed the person of Christ in this world, we can read Moses, he is speaking unto that people in the book of Deuteronomy. And he says to them, and he gives them hope of that mediator that was to come. Not to say his name, no. But he says that the Lord, he is going to raise up of your brethren one who is like unto me. Him, he says, shall ye hear. That was the comfort of the people. That was in the humanity of that Savior that was to come. Why? Because they could not endure directly to speak unto that holy and that righteous God whose justice that needed to be fulfilled. Did that begin with Moses? That began already with Adam and Eve. Because they also have seen that fire. They have seen that angel because of sin. With that flaming sword turning every way at that garden. And then it is that they are fearing that majesty of the Lord. Children, because of sin in the conscience, that they have to flee out of that garden. And when the Lord, he promises unto them that Messiah that was to come, he says it will be the seed of that woman. Oh, that will be the comfort of that people. And so they are led a little bit into who that Messiah that was to come, who that he shall be. Who will it be? It will be the seed of that woman, one like unto me, one of your own flesh. Oh, he will be one that you can lay your case before. He will be one, people of the Lord. Then you will feel the certainty that he will take up your case for you. Because he shall have an interest. Because he will be even the same one in your nature. Oh, the humanity. And righteousness, O congregation, where is that people that need that he shall be a righteous man? That is a people that feel something of their lack of their own righteousness. And so that was also in the Old Testament. Oh, a people even then that have experienced something of that majesty of the Lord that was against the sin of their own soul, for whom it was a comfort that by his knowledge, his righteous servant should justify many. Why? Because he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, that was the hope of that church. That could not stand before the justice of the Lord. And therefore was looking for a mediator who would be in himself righteous and who could go in for them through the veil and to come into that holy of holies. That humanity and that righteousness of that blessed mediator, and then finally that divinity. Where is that people who do not need congregation? That divinity, that divine power. Because in the beginning we do not need it. There are strong people that are in the workhouse. Strong people. But if we remain strong people, then it will go ill with us. No, then actually we are but a hypocrite. If we never come to need that divine power, then indeed it is not right for us. Paul says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And that is now the need of that true church, even from the beginning. Even for our first parents, once again, what did the Lord say? He says that that mediator, he shall be so strong that he shall bruise the head of the devil. Bruise his head. Did they feel the power of the devil? One temptation, and they fell. And that was not in their guilt, but that was when they were standing in their innocence with the ability to stand. One temptation. And so he has promised a mediator that would be more powerful, children of the Lord, than every enemy that is coming against you. More powerful than that great company against whom you cannot stand because you feel your weakness. That is a power for those who are not able to satisfy that justice of the Lord. O congregation, that is a church that is in need of divine power. Are you in need also of divine power? That is divine power in that human nature to sustain the burden of the wrath of God against sin. What did David say? He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chastise me in thy sore displeasure. He says, my bones, they are vexed. My soul, that is also sore vexed. Save me, he says. He was afraid to die. Save me from death. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, he says, who shall give thee thanks? Oh, who is able to satisfy that justice of God? But David and those with him, oh, by moments, they may look for a him whom the Lord had promised, who was so veiled to them. Is he veiled to you too? But may you receive a little glimpse sometimes who he shall be, who he shall be in his humanity, or who he may be in his righteousness, who he may be in his divine power. A divine power to give you that hope that we read of also in the Word of God, that God, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, convert us unto thee. Thou knowest our hearts, all that lives therein. We cannot miss thee, but we do not know what is necessary for our own soul. Convert us, Lord. Teach us, lead us into thy truth. And may we be given true desires after thy only begotten Son. Bless thy word this day. And wilt thou look upon us in the rest of this day and of this week. Keep us from sin, accident, and danger. Oh, give us to desire that we may be set upon that race, that it may be set before us. Oh, that we may be given also to lay aside every weight, and that sin that doth so easily beset us, or that we may be given to look unto Him, the author and finisher of faith. May it be also of our faith. Look on us, forgive, teach, lead, convert, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 448, stanza 1. Blessed be the God of Israel, the Lord who visited His own, who by His gracious providence redemption unto us made known. And what follows in the first stanza of Psalter 448. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.